Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state's evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut.
Yes, yes, it's the midweek. It's Wednesday. It's the Callers Cookout here on the Sports City Chefs Network. The villain versus the hero, where good always wins unless you have a villain on your side. Then the villain always wins. But we here, we in the building. Listen, we trying to get this product to you. TP knows the fiends ain't coming fast enough. There's no cut that's pure enough. I can't fold. I need gold every up, every hold. Product must be sold to you. Call in number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 90 minutes plus. Here talking a little sports, a little basketball, maybe a little football, but a lot of basketball here tonight. I got my co-host, my main man, my ace Boom Koom on my side, TP Timeless, calling in. TP, what's up, brother?
To live large and bigger than my ninja who promised his mom a mansion with mad room. She died and he still put $100,000 in a tomb. Open wound, she healed. Behind closed doors, don't do this to me. Not in front of these people, man. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The cookout timeless is alive, man. You already know how this thing go down. The calling number is 929-477-2759. We got y'all locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or more. They could have been anywhere else in the world, but they are here with the chefs. You already know how this go down. Good versus evil. I had to go see this guy this weekend. Had a good time, but you already know I had to put that little Yankee Knicks talk to him, man. You know, I had to get him to smile a little bit. I got my niece and my nephew to hug on me, tell me all about myself, man. So I feel some type of way about him, man. So it's a little good spot in the villa. Believe me. Don't worry. I got him smiling right now. Watch. I bet you guarantee when he starts talking right now, you can hear him smile. Watch this.
He already knows, man. He's not a gentle, happy villain. Everybody knows when I'm a good guy. I'm a gentle, happy villain. I don't mean no harm. Nah, it's all good, man, but I had to hit you with that goal because we're moving that product, man. We're getting that out to the people, man. This podcast, man, we're doing big things, so
I need my special shirt.
My style is going to give it to you, man, but it's good to see you. Good to hang out with you, brother. And we also got Big E, Easy E, Eric calling in from the 970. I'm having little issues with the button, but I think I got him. Eric, if you're there, holla at you. What's up, brother?
Good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Yeah, I was having a little computer issues. It's like a step slow, like the Knicks are tonight. But, you know, we got it worked out. We're here for the next 90 minutes. A lot of basketball to talk about. Games last night, games going on tonight with the Wizards, the Sixers, Knicks, and the Hawks out of the Garden. But let's start with the news of the day. I want to start. We'll start with college. We'll start there, and then we'll move into the pros, and then we'll get into the games. But, you know, obviously the big news coming out of college basketball was that Coach Mike Krzyzewski, legendary coach from Duke, calling in a career after this season after 41 years, longer than I've been alive. coaching college basketball at the university, Duke University, is going to call it a career. They already named his successor, John Shire. I don't know. Say his name. I'm sure I'll get the rounds of that pretty soon. Coach K, five national championships over his career. Winningest basketball coach in college, men's college basketball history. Let's be clear on that. But a great coach. You know, he's helped out with the United States national team. Obviously, a lot of great players have come in and out of Duke, rivalry of North Carolina, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Calls a career. TP Timeless, I'll let you take this one first. You know, I know you heard the news. Let me hear your 2 cents on Coach K calling it a career after this season.
I've actually taken it quite personally. I'm not going to lie. I love college basketball. I'm a diehard Georgetown fan, and I'm getting personal. This ain't even me being analytical. Like, I'm being personal. And the crazy part about everything that's going on right now is, like, I feel like how me and Barry go at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, I call him the villain, and I'm timeless, you know. Everything that goes along with my intro and things of that nature. And the one nemesis that I have in college basketball has always been Coach K. It's like every time college basketball come around, I even think Duke first. I always think about Duke first. Like, of course, it's like Georgetown. I want my boys to get to the national championship and try to bring it back to D.C., however we could try to do this thing. But it's like as soon as it come around, I think Duke. I think that snarl. I think the way that he looked down his long nose, look at the referee and me talking to the ref. Like, you could tell he's talking sensibly, but he's got that aggression toward the ref, and he's buying the ref. And it's like, yo, get Coach K away from the ref. And he's been consistent with getting some of the best players in college basketball to come around there. I don't like this situation because he's retiring, because I am now looking at us getting older in life. And he's gotten older to the fact that he's putting it up. And it's like, wow, a guy that I cannot stand at the coaching position just because of the rivalry. And Georgetown didn't play Duke that much, but when they did go at it, it's like, I'm all ears. I'm at the edge of my seat. Yo, we beat Duke. That's it. Like, I don't want to hear nothing else. Just beat these dudes. I listen, Shane Battier and them. I don't care who it was. Chris Carwell. I could name the laundry list. Christian Laettner, I couldn't stand him. Oh, my goodness. Bobby Hurley. All of these legends in college basketball were under his hand. And I'm not going to lie, Coach K. I tip my hat. I appreciate the greatness that you brought to college basketball, the best college basketball coach that ever stepped on the sideline. You could put anybody there. I mean, Bobby Knight probably be the only one that you're trying to measure up with because he had the perfect season or whatever, but I think Coach K might have one. I'm not sure. I have to look into his whole legacy, but I think he has the most college national championships and did everything within the ACC, helping keep the ACC relevant. This is the funny thing of watching his decline in his team for the past couple of seasons. It makes it interesting, but for him to just step away from the game is like just puzzling. The way that I had to find out the news, too, I had gotten it while I was driving, so it stunned me because I wasn't ready to hear that about Coach K. I mean, I'm not lying. I can go on and on about Coach K, and I'm saying this so passionately, it's not even funny. Just because of the way that I love sports and I love basketball so much, and everything Duke is about is him. Like, as soon as I think of Duke University, of course, I think about the days of Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley and them winning their national championships. But it's like it's always him being Beethoven with the wand out and getting them started. And it's like, yo, just beat these dudes, man. I don't even want to feel like he got the edge. Or it'll be some Saturdays you watching Duke play and just turn it on to ABC and he up 50 in the first half. It's like, yo, what are they doing to the Citadel? Like, the Citadel need to just leave. Just walk out. Just leave. Y'all know y'all done. Like, why'd y'all come here? Like, it's crazy that this guy is finished. And I think it's at the end of this upcoming season. So I think he's going to coach the rest of the 2021-2022 season, and then he's going to retire. But still yet, I'm going to try my best to watch every Duke game that I can, man, because I told myself I'm at this point where watching legends hanging it up, like appreciating a guy like Tom Brady or LeBron, like these guys are getting older, man, and they're walking away from their respected sports. So, Coach K, I can't lie. As much as I want to take Duke out while you're on the sideline, I truly will miss you. because I love your competitiveness, that rage that made me anger almost every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday to see somebody try to knock off Duke, whether you were in Blacksburg, whether you were in Chapel Hill, I don't care where you were, to try to knock off Duke. And you were that great that you won majority of those games. I tip my hat, Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's been there long enough that that's all we know is Coach K at Duke. There was no Duke program before really Coach K got there and built it from the ground up and built a powerhouse in North Carolina in the ACC where there were some really good teams. So, Eric, I'll come to you. I mean, lament on Coach K hanging it up after this coming season in college basketball.
Yeah, as a North Carolina fan, I'm actually happy about this. But as a sports fan, you know, you got to give credit to where credit's due. Arguably the greatest coach in college basketball history. I think the only other name you can put up there against him would be John Wooden. But, yeah, I mean, you know, hats off to a great career. And like you guys just touched on, he was Duke. That is Duke. It's going to be, you know, it is going to be sad not seeing him on the sideline because I love those games. I've been watching them for, shoot, I'm 38. I've been watching them my whole life, being a North Carolina fan. Every year, let's just beat Duke. It doesn't even matter. And having some great battles, great coached games too. So and he also coached the Dream Team, one of the Dream Teams, and got a couple gold medals. So, you know, like time was touched on, it is going to be sad not seeing him on the sideline. But, you know, hats off to a great career. It's going to be interesting to see if Duke can continue their legacy and their dominance year in and year out if they're going to be a contender with him leaving, because I think he made that program. All this young talent coming out of high school and all these top prospects, you know, Coach K was a big part in bringing them there. And these kids wanted to play for a program like that and to play for a coach like that. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue that. But hats off. You will be missed, Coach K, even though I'm a diehard Tar Heel fan. It's good to see you go because I don't think Duke's going to maintain without you being on that sideline. So, but hats off to a great career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see Roy Williams call it a career. I think he decided that he wasn't going to come back, right? I think he's not going to come back this year. So, you know, Coach K is going to coach this year, and then that's it. So, you know, seeing a lot of legendary coaches, you know, bow out. Coach K is 74 years old, so he's lived a career. He's lived a life. So he spent some time with his family. We got a caller in. From the 703, Aaron Sirius Simmons. I'm going to bring him in so he can talk that ish. Sirius, what's up, brother? How you feeling?
What's going on, fellas, man? I'm not going to waste any time. I'm just going to pick the right up where my man left off. You know, as a Tar Heel fan, you know, there was a mutual respect for Coach K. And I mean, as my man Eve alluded to, it's going to be significantly awkward, you know, in two seasons to see him not on the bench somewhere, you know, coaching the Blue Devils, man. My biggest question is, I have a question, you know, and we could probably kick this around or whatever the case may be. If you look at what the Tar Heels did, you know, or what these other college programs are doing, where they're looking to, you know, potential alums to come back and coach. I'm curious to see who the Duke Blue Devils, you know, would get to kind of fill that void. You know, I'm looking at potential somebody like a Grant Hill, maybe, you know, somebody who is trying to, you know, cut their teeth in the coaching or something like that. You know, maybe Jay Will from ESPN or something like that, who didn't, you know, hack it as an NBA player, but, you know, had made a name for himself as an analyst. You know, and it's kind of interesting, but I do like the fact that, you know, he made this announcement. all the next year can, you know, kind of be his farewell tour, and, you know, they can, you know, honor him on, you know, every arena and everything like that. And, you know, as much as I hate the guy and hate the team, I respect the hell out of him. So salute to, you know, Coach K, and, you know, hopefully he enjoys the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Duke did name their successor. They've been quietly, like, talking to candidates. They said they talked to Tommy Amaker, former Duke player, coach at Harvard, and a couple other guys they didn't name, but the guy that they settled on, John Shire, you know, was the lead recruiter, brought in Tatum, brought in Zion, and some other guys. So that was the guy that they chose to replace him. So they did make their choice, and you know, it might have been interesting to get a name. I thought there would have been some other names that they could have went with, but, you know, hey, you know, we'll see. It'll probably work out for the best either way. So
I'm actually taking that personal too, Barry, because in the past, I want to say 4 to 5 months, I've gotten really close with Nolan Smith, and they just gave Nolan Smith the assistant head coach position, and they watched Coach K retire, and then they give it to Shire, and it's like, why would you give him the assistant head coaching position and then go with Shire? And knowing that Shire's never even been in the league, and Nolan Smith has, and he's been on the sideline with Coach K and the rest of that crew for some time now since leaving Portland. So, like, I'm a little frustrated with hearing the news, but, I mean, it's Duke's system, and I understand the way in that state of North Carolina, but it's interesting that they went that way. So, Nolan, I hope you can withstand the storm or end up going to another school, or if Shire doesn't pan out, but it's pretty insane that they went away from him after giving him a promotion.
Who was the assistant that TP that they had that used to play point guard for them? I can't remember his name. I can see him.
Nolan Smith.
No, not him. It was another small white point guard. I can't remember his name. He was his lead assistant,
Colin,
for a while.
Was it Colin?
I don't know.
On the Collins son? Carwell, they had Nate James on the sideline. Capel might be the point guard you're thinking about.
No. I would know Capel. I do know Capel, but no, it was another kid. It was this small white boy, blonde hair, really small, you know, scrappy little point guard. But he was like his lead assistant for a while. I can't remember his name, but I'll have to find it. I thought he was going to be the successor after a while, but I get what you're saying. You know, there might have been some other candidates.
Is it Wojciechowski?
Yes. You got it. That's him. He was the lead assistant for a while, and I thought he was always like in the succession plan. But I guess, you know, he moved on and it didn't work out. So, but yeah, you know, listen. We know how it works. Basically, they're going to pick their guy, and you know, that it's their process, and you know, that's it. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. But you know, to Coach K, legendary career. You know, congratulations on a great career, all time winning coach in men's college basketball. So, I'll move off from that. Unless anybody else has something to add, anybody? No, we're good. I know what we'll move to the pros. So another coaching carousel move. Celtics fresh off of a 4-1 loss, series loss to the Brooklyn Nets. Interesting enough, Danny Ainge, who's been contemplating retirement for the last couple months, has officially the rumor is that he will retire, and that Brad Stevens will take his role in the front office and help lead the coaching search. So that the Boston Celtics getting a new coach. We don't know who it's going to be yet. Danny Ainge is retiring, and Brad Stevens is moving into a full-time role in the front office and coming off the bench from being a head coach. So, Sirius, I'll come right back to you. We talked about this earlier today. Give me your thoughts on Brad Stevens no longer being the coach in the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge, after a long time executive. I think he started in 2003. I think he was in their front office. No longer the lead guy in Boston is retiring, so he can spend more time with his family.
You know, honestly, gentlemen, I think this, you know, the writing was on the wall for Danny Ainge, in my honest opinion. And unfortunately, you know, I respect the heck out of this guy for what he was as a player. I respect, you know, the different moves and the things that he was able to accomplish and pull together. You know, a lot of people, in my honest opinion, you know, want to harp on, you know, what LeBron James did as far as, you know, formulating the big three. But if you really want to look at it, Danny Ainge was the guy that kickstarted that, in my honest opinion, you know, when he pulled the trigger and made the necessary moves to get, you know, Paul Pierce together with KG and Ray Allen and Rondo and company, and they went on that magical run. I think the blueprint for that, you know, for the super team that we see today was birthed under Danny Ainge. So, and, you know, he's always tend to make some decent picks in the draft and, you know, win the unload contracts. And, you know, the one black eye that I can really account to and equate to is how they treated Isaiah Thomas. I thought that that was a little bit shady. I didn't like how they did Batman. But ultimately, I think he, you know, ran the organization well. And, you know, we'll see what happens now with Brad Stevens, you know, moving up the ladder, so to speak, into that position. I think a couple of questions have to be answered, one of which is what the heck you're doing with Jaylen Brown and or Kemba Walker. You know, I'm not too sure what Brad Stevens is going to do as the new exec. But, you know, that's another conversation for another day, I believe. Right now I'm not going to really downplay or, you know, or overshadow what Danny Ainge has done. You know, he deserves all the respect that he gets. And, again, a job well done, in my opinion. He brought a championship back to Boston, and he did it in, you know, an era where, you know, he had to go up against Kobe. You know, I mean, that's how they won. They beat Kobe. And so salute to him, salute to that organization for doing it the right way, you know, kind of giving us a blueprint for what we see today. Enjoy retirement, man. You know, go kick some golf balls, you know, but don't detach, so to speak. Stay close to the game. You know what I'm saying? Be an advisor, do something, jump on TV. You know, I don't see him staying away from this game too long, man. But, yeah, salute to him for what he's been able to accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, TP, Eric, I'll come to you because I didn't hear from you in a minute. Like, Eric, let me get your opinion on what's going on in Boston after a disappointing, pretty much a disappointing season. Brad Stevens gone to three finals in 5 years but couldn't get this team over the hump this year. Moving into the front office, not coaching anymore. And then we have Danny Ainge looking to step down and no longer be the GM in Boston. What's your take on what's going on in Beantown?
Well, I think Sirius hit it on the head. You know, the writing was on the wall there. We've kind of been talking about it all year long. You know, are they going to have an overhaul? Is Ainge going to be there? Is Stevens going to be the head coach? I'm kind of shocked that they're putting Stevens in his position, you know, but that's kind of head-scratching. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can accomplish, what kind of head coach he's going to bring in there. There's a lot of good young coaches out there that he could bring in, and for some former players too. You know, Chauncey Billups, Sam Gassell would be two. That would be interesting to see. Sam Gassell played there for a while, so he's a good basketball mind. But, you know, Danny Ainge has he had a good NBA career. He won some championships. He won a championship in the front office. So it's time for him to go enjoy retirement. It's going to be interesting to see if he's going to stay away from the game since he's been in the game for so long as a player and then transitioning into, you know, coaching in the front office. So Boston definitely needed it, though. They needed an overhaul. They're going to have to work on their team. They just couldn't get over the hump, and they could not beat the teams that they needed to beat to get there. I think if Jaylen Brown was healthy, though, that could have been a little bit different story. That would have been an interesting series. But nothing for him to, you know, be down about. It's just I'm shocked that Stevens is still with the organization. So that's what really shocks me about this whole situation, is they promoted him to the head of basketball operations, controlling the whole everyday aspect for, you know. So it's, I don't know if he's experienced that or up for the task, but we shall find out soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's curious to me that they decided to keep him in the front office, but obviously it wasn't working out as a coach. So, you know, it's kind of you know, not suspect. It's just kind of curious, trying to understand what they're looking for. TP, I don't know if you got an opinion on it with Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge on the move in Boston. You know, Ainge decided to step down. Brad Stevens not going to be the coach. This, I guess you call it a step up. And going to be in the front office helping to make decisions on basically who's going to be the next coach in Boston. So I don't know if you have an opinion on it, but I'd love to, you know, get your feeling on what's going on in Boston.
There's a song by the Notorious B.I.G., and it's called What's Beef. And the way that the song starts off, it goes, ha, 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 that's all I have to say. This is hilarious watching Danny Ainge make that team get worse, step down, and put the coach that should not be there in front of everything. Brad Stevens was the coach they needed to remove, even though he's had some interesting runs. They could not get over the hump. So now you got a guy that's a talent evaluator that has always been picking from the litter from mid-tier to lower-tier high school players that are D1 ready, but not able to go to schools like North Carolina, Duke, USC, things of that nature. And you're going to put him in the field to pick out of the litter of the league at his best. So I don't know if this works out while Brad Stevens struggled coaching while having Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown there. And for some odd reason, it doesn't work to the point or the fact that people are actually looking forward to get rid of Jaylen Brown. So now I'm wondering if the coach is really going to get rid of Jaylen Brown or if he keeps him there because he's upstairs now. So this is a very interesting situation. I feel like Boston is under the gun right now trying to make this happen. This is a scary situation while Brad Stevens is going to probably be there for the next 5 to 8 seasons because for some odd reason the mystique of the Boston Celtics, they fall in love with their team, their staff. They don't like try to move past them. So they're trying to make this work or move on the fly, and I disagree with it heavily. And we'll see what Stevens could do now that he's upstairs in management, and he's probably going to try to work on a big man that he never had a big man, well, which he claims, but he's had a ton of big men come through there, and they just get moved. Mm-hmm. And I know that's the conversation that he had with Danny Ainge. So, and what do they do with Kemba? There's so many questions that are there in front of the Celtics that he's going to have to answer literally because he was the coach. Now he's in management. So what moves do you make, and who does he select? Do you go to the college ranks and get a college coach? Or do you go within the likes of people that have experience in the NBA to try to bring them to the NBA to turn the Celtics around from the damage that you've done? So he's going to have to find somebody better than him. This is going to be very interesting.
I mean, I hope whoever he looks for, I hope they have a person of color. Because, I'm going to be honest. You know, I'm like a lot of people, tired of a lot of, you know, black assistants getting passed over. For the up-and-coming guy, you know, they just happen to be white or, you know, usually they're juiced in or something like that. You know, Steve Marks had a relationship with Steve Nash and all that, Bobby Marks or whatever, you know, had a relationship with Steve Nash. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, a lot of good assistants like Sam Cassell that can't get an interview, can't get a job. So I hope he's considered and seriously considered. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Danny Ainge, you're right. I feel like he built a good team that needed a piece or two to get over the hump. And, you know, you're looking at a team now in Boston that is deprived of depth and talent. You know, you have two really good players, but then you don't have anything after that. You know, you don't have any – the role players have just gotten worse and worse and worse in Boston, and that's a reflection on Danny Ainge. And their struggles this year was a reflection on their lack of depth and their lack of leadership, too. I think they need a leader at the head coach position because clearly, you know, Brad Stevens is a great basketball coach, a great basketball mind, but he couldn't get these guys to play, couldn't get them to get, you know, together. So, I mean, that's but at the end of the day, you know, they need a leader at the head coach position, and they need a leader on the court, somebody that's going to pull these guys together and say, no, this is how we're going to do it. You know, this is how we're going to play, and this is what we need to do to win. So hopefully they can do that and get something in Boston. You know, they do have good pieces at the lead positions. They got Tatum and Brown, to your point. Got to figure out what they're going to do with Kemba. But, you know, it could be a lot worse. You know what I mean? There's a lot worse positions and situations to be in. So we'll see how that ends up. I don't know if anybody else has anything to add to that, to Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. If not, we can move on to the games at hand. We're good? All right. Call in number 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next about 60 minutes, talking a little hoops here on this caller's cookout with the villain and TP Timeless, Sirius himself, and Big E Eric having a little fun here. So before we get into tonight's game, I definitely want to talk about last night's games. You know, there were some great games last night. Dame Dollar and Nuggets. I'll start there before we get to the meaty one. You know, listen, it's a shame Dame Dollar is in Portland and nobody gets to see how really good this guy is. I mean, he, you know, not only put it into overtime with a three, put it into double overtime with a three, had 55 points, I think 10 assists and I think 6 rebounds. Did everything in his power to will this team to a victory, but couldn't get it done. The Nuggets wind up winning the game and pushing it to a 3-2 series lead, heading back to Portland to try and close things out. You know, TP, I'll start with you. Is Dame the most clutch player in the league, and do the Portland Trailblazers have enough to overtake these Denver Nuggets, or is like, you know, just not, they just don't have enough. They can't get over that hump, TP.
He has the more memorable clutch shots going on right now, but they lost.
Yeah.
And the bad part about it is a lot of these games that he's in when he's going off, they've been losing. And meanwhile, you've had CJ McCollum and Norman Powell actually shooting exceptionally well. So I feel bad that he put up a 55-point night and fell short, especially on that three that tied it up. I think it was for double overtime. He got fouled. And that ref didn't even call the foul. So it's like they could have ended the game right there, but they didn't get the call, I think more or less because they were in Denver. I don't want to just, like, put it that way, but I feel that way. But I feel bad that Dame just can't get it to, like, more or less be situational and not just taking erratic shots. Because there's sometimes that Dame would just cross half court and just pull from half court. And it's like, wait, that's not basketball. Steph don't even do that. And a lot of people follow the mantra of Steph. So it's like I'm questionable on Dame and the team that he has with Portland. They're going to end up reconstructing this somehow or blowing it up. And I don't want to see that happen because both of these guys are good, being CJ and Dame. But it's just not working. One way or another, they are brothers, and they don't have a rift. But to get over the hump, one of them is going to have to go. And I don't want to say that or talk it into existence, but it's bad that either it's them or it's Coach Stott. I'd rather be Stott so they can figure it out with a better coach, but I think Stott will remain. So Dame has been a pure entertainment to see him hit shots like that, but it's been setting them back in certain situations, especially when they should be winning this series against Denver. Denver's down Jamal Murray, and they're struggling. They're struggling. They let a game go at home. They let a game go away in Denver. I don't want to put too much of this on his shoulders, but he is the face of the organization, and he has to keep everybody else involved. He has to, but I get it. He's awesome. He's must-see TV. He probably had the most memorable postseason shots that we could think of. OKC with the wave, Houston with the turnaround, like, and then his shot against Denver, like, he had, and this is three just off the top of my head that I could think of. Like, he's in that rare air.
Yeah, I mean, he's fun to watch. And like I said, I would kill to have him in New York and L.A., you know, a nice big market town, because it's just, we just don't see him 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. We don't get to see him. Like, by the time he comes on, I'm like, I'm tired, man. These kids done beat me up. UTV knows. These kids done wore me out. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. You know what I mean? Like, but he's amazing. And, you know, to your point, you know, this is a tough series for them. Serious. I'll come to you, man. Talk to me about Dame Dalla, Dame Time, hitting the wrist. You know, is he enough? Is it enough what he can do, and McCollum and Melo and company, can they get over the hump against these Nuggets? And is he the most clutch player right now in the game?
You know what? I picked the Blazers in seven because of Dame Dalla. So the fact that we're sitting currently right now at a 3-2 situation with them going back home, I'm not betting against that man until there's no life left in him. You know, if you ask me to name a clutch player, I've seen this dude hit more clutch buckets than Steph. I've seen him hit more clutch buckets than LeBron. Name that player. I've seen this dude hit more clutch buckets than any current player that I'm watching right now. So to answer the question, yeah, this dude does not care. The moment is never too big for him. He pulls up from anywhere, any angle, and he just wills his team to win. It's unfortunate, and this is back to TP's point, it's unfortunate that I don't think that he's ever going to win a championship in Portland. I mean, he has love for the city. He doesn't want to, you know, put together a super team or anything like that. But unfortunately, I don't think that as the Portland Trail Blazers are currently constructed is enough to win the whole chip. I think Stotts is on his way out. I think CJ's on his way out. You know, and they're going to have to try to figure out some type of magic, some type of chemistry, something that will get this team to where it ultimately wants to go. They went on a run in the bubble last year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and again, no discredit to them, but they don't have enough to go alongside with Dame Dalla to get over the hump. And so because of that, you know, you have to maximize your opportunity. So, you know, Stotts is going to be the fall guy. CJ is going to get moved in some type of deal. Something has to happen. I do like the fact that that guy – that's related to this other guy on the radio is there, because he's balling. He's balling. You know what I'm saying? Melo is found the fountain of youth. He's putting up buckets. You know what I'm saying? But you can never really get any type of health from your big man. You know what I'm saying? He's either in foul trouble or on IR. You know what I'm saying? So, unfortunately, they need to do something in Portland to surround Dame Dalla with some help.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, and from where I'm sitting, it doesn't look like McCollum, and I like McCollum, and I like Dame. I think they're a really good backcourt. They just are not, they don't click together, like, when it counts. And there's just not enough there with those two guys. That's just what I see. But, Eric, I'll come to you, Big E, my brother. Dame Time, is it for real? Is he the most clutch guy in the league? And, I mean, can the Blazers overcome this 3-2 deficit and get two straight against a really good Nuggets team to move on to the next round? Or is it over? Is it done? Are the Nuggets going to close them out?
You know, they definitely have a chance. If they played how they did the game prior, they shut down the Joker. They shut him down. They played defense. And then in this game, they let him erupt and dominate. And then, just like we talked about, when he's on, it creates opportunities for everybody else on the floor. You saw that game, the Nuggets, I think Campazzo was the only guy over 10 points on the bench. And everybody else was 3-6 points. And in this game, they had a total team effort. Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Austin Rivers put up 21. So, you know, these guys were going off because the Joker was going off. They shut that down the game prior. If they can do that again, they can win. But as everybody's saying, unfortunately for the Blazers, they're a few pieces away. They have some good talent, or they have a lot of good talent. I just think I would like to see them coach with a different coach, put in a different coach with these guys, try to get another piece for McCollum and Lillard, and then go from there. Because they do have some talent. They fall up short every year. They have really good seasons, and they choke in the playoffs. That's just their MO. Dame Dollar is definitely one of the most clutch players in the NBA. If we got 3 seconds left, I'm going to Steph Curry or Lillard for the ball. That's no question. But, unfortunately, the Nuggets, they're missing Jamal Murray and Will Barton. Two big pieces to that team, and the Blazers still cannot beat them. And it's looking unfortunate. This game will probably go, or they probably will go 7 games, but they got to get back to defense. They need to shut down the Joker. If they can do that, they can win this series in 7. But if they don't, then it's a wrap.
Yeah, I feel like they're good. They're a good team. They're just not going to be. Being a good team in the West is not enough. Like, because there's a lot of really good teams in the West. You know what I mean? And I think they're just going to be a consistent 5, 6, 7 seed that can't get over the hump until something changes. Maybe it is a coach. Maybe that's a good point. Maybe it's a coaching change that's needed. But I honestly think they have some talent there. It's just something's missing. I think they need a bigger guard. I think that, you keep Dame, you trade McCollum, get a bigger guard that can play both ways. In the draft, maybe do a trade, who knows? Maybe that's somebody that can bring in a little bit of defensive toughness. But, I mean, to your point, Nurkic had a really good game 4 and then fouled out in game 5. And Joker was doing whatever he wanted to Nurkic. Like, Nurkic, I mean, he was just abusing him. I don't know why at that point you don't have Enes Kanter being him. I mean... I don't think they have an answer for Joker, but, I mean, like, give me a break, to your point. I mean, it's just, I can't put my finger, there's just something missing in Portland, something missing. And I honestly feel like it's got to start with the backcourt. As good as it is on paper and in the regular season, in the playoffs, it just doesn't come up big. It just doesn't happen. Even though they went to the, conference finals a few years back, it's just not enough. And I think something's got to change out there so they can really get to that upper level to compete with the Jazz and the Suns and the Clippers and the Mavs. So I don't see them beating any of them in the series, to be honest with them, let alone the Nuggets. So, I don't know if anybody else has anything. Listen, game time is for real. I love him. Like I said, if there's like 3 seconds left on the clock, I don't think there's another player that I would want shooting the ball other than him. I know Curry is the best shooter we've ever seen. LeBron is pretty clutch. Have to give him his props. But Dame Dollar is just a different type of beast. Like, he's unafraid. He will shoot it from anywhere, and he will let you know. So, there's just that rare breed that you don't really see, in the game. So I would definitely, he's definitely probably my number one pick to take that shot. It's definitely my life depends on it. I'll take Dame Dollar anytime. So, I don't know if anybody else has anything to add on that, but definitely want to give Dame a little bit of love out there, even though it's not going too great for his team. But I definitely want to pivot. The other game, I'm going to come right to you. I was going to save you for last, but I definitely want to let you get this off your chest. The Los Angeles Lakers. Is Father Time tapping LeBron on the shoulder and say, hey, come on home, baby. Come on home. Or is it just that the town around him is not getting it done? I mean, what's the breaking point? Do they have enough in the tank? AD, who knows what's going to happen with AD if he's going to play that groin injury? But he put up 6 fingers, they said, that he can play in game 6. But, I mean, yeah, I'll see it to believe it. I don't know what's going to happen with AD
who Charles Barkley calls street clothes, because that's all he ever wears is street clothes instead of a uniform. But, Eric, you know, your Lakers, what's going on, man? They didn't look good in game five. Do they have enough? Do they have anything left in the tank to make this, to take the last two games and get it, get the series win?
If they had Kobe Bryant still, yes. But unfortunately, he's gone. So now the problem is this has been all year. I mean Frank Vogel. They got rid of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, two big pieces, and we're seeing it now. Huge pieces for their run last year. They had the best defense in the league. They had good. I mean, everybody was playing well. KCP got a big contract extension, and he's been non-existent this year, along with some other guys. But when you get Dennis Schroeder and KCP in a playoff game, getting 0 points, both of them, come on. Schroeder, good riddance too. You think you're going to get $100+ million contract? Good luck. You got to play like that first. This is the playoffs. Play with some heart. Frank Vogel needs to go. I wasn't happy with this coaching hire when it first when he first got announced. It was like, wow, you know, this is interesting coming to coach a team like this. There's a lot of just coaching LeBron James. Okay, you need to have a special coach to deal with players like this. He lost his team. These guys aren't buying into what he's selling. They haven't got any chemistry. When you look at watching games, when LeBron and AD are out there, it goes to them. Everybody else, they get the ball, they pass. They're not sure what they should do, and it's kind of frustrating. I've seen this happen all year. This is why I was worried. And this is why I said the Phoenix Suns had a great chance of winning this series, because the Lakers don't even have their identity yet. They had the whole year and they never got an identity. They have all this talent and they cannot put anything together. You get two Sixth Man of the Year. You get a Sixth Man of the Year and a Sixth Man of the Year runner-up in Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell. These guys were going to be big pieces, and they haven't played consistently. He's not even playing Harrell. It's like, are you kidding me? This guy's an animal, and you're not even playing him? He was frustrated about it, vented on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, you should be in the game. There's no question about it. You should be playing 20 minutes a game, and they don't do it. He does. Depressing. That game, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I kind of watched in the trance, just in shock. And people got on LeBron, walking out on his team. I wasn't happy with that. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I mean, no wonder. Look at these guys. Look at how they're playing. Look at how they're coached. I'd be frustrated, too. You can't be the only one out there playing. You know, you had 24 points, and the closest person to him was Kuzma at 15. And then you got a rookie, Horton Tucker, at 11. Everybody else, 5 points. 7 points, 4 points, double zeros for Schroeder and KCP. It's a complete nightmare. And if they're that destroyed, missing Anthony Davis, if he's that big of a piece, you throw in him, okay, he's there. He gets 30 points at best. The Lakers still lose this game because no one else shows up. So I'm ready for them to get rid of Vogel, start building a team around Anthony Davis, because he's going to be there. He's going to be there for a while. He's going to be the face of the franchise. Hopefully he stays healthy. That's another unfortunate issue. He has shown that he's injury prone. he goes in there. I'm playing for sure. There's no way I'm staying out for game four when he was already injured. And then look what happens. If you're smart, hey, let's rest him. Let's not play him a lot, or let's just give him the day off. We'll go back at the series with him coming in tied at worst. But instead they play him. He goes out there and blows himself out again. So, I mean, this is a huge concern if Anthony Davis is going to ever remain healthy in his career. It's hard for big men, especially when they're that athletic like him. That basketball takes a lot of toll on your body. you got to be in supreme physical shape to be playing basketball. Tremendous cardio, and your muscles got to be strong. I mean, it's incredible what these guys go through, jumping around, awkward shots, awkward landing, jumping up in the air to block, rebounding with when you're getting hammered with the other body slamming into you, and running up and down that court all night long. So, I mean, he needs to get some conditioning going. There's a lot of exercises out there that, you know, you can do to prevent injuries or help minimize them. And he needs to be doing all that because it's not working with what he has been doing. And it's just a total disaster. I blame Frank Vogel for not getting this team together. You have this team, you have all this talent, and you can't get these guys to play together? They look confused the whole time out there. No one knew what, no, I mean, Gasol, he would, oh, what do I do? Oh, I'm just going to pass the ball. And it's like this with a lot of these guys. They don't have the confidence to shoot. They don't have the confidence to score. Oh, here, let's give the ball to LeBron James or Anthony Davis. You can't win that way. And a lot of these guys are proven scorers. Andre Drummond could put up points. Harrell was averaging 15 points a game with the Clippers. And that hasn't happened in Los Angeles. Kyle Kuzma has regressed. KCP regressed. Alex Caruso is stepping up. But that's only three guys that are actually playing at 100% and actually willing to make things happen. All these other guys look lost out there. There's no chemistry. They didn't develop any identity. And this is what you're seeing, folks. When you don't have chemistry and everybody's on the same page, it doesn't matter what kind of talent you have, you're going to lose. The Phoenix Suns are the better team. Chris Paul, they're fighting through adversity. They got injuries. But unlike the Lakers, their whole team is stepping up. They want to be there. They want to win. They have an identity. They had an identity the whole year. They're very well coached. Frank Vogel doesn't know what he's doing out there. He completely looks lost. He sits there, oh, LeBron, Anthony Davis, like leaning everything on them. No, you got to put together a coaching strategy, and you need to get your guys buying into it. But it's a sad thing, and Los Angeles is in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Vogel wasn't their first choice. They wanted Jason Kidd. Everybody knows that. You know, he was kind of like their fourth choice, to be honest with you. And, you know, losing the team, yeah, but I don't think it was, like, well-constructed. I mean, LeBron, you know, did all he could. And, you know, LeBron's going to be LeBron. He walks off the court. That's what he does. He's a baby. He walks off the court. Let's be clear. But that's, I'm not going to get on him for that because it's not like it's the first time he's done it. He's always done it. The thing is, it's like, he's the only starter that was in double figures. The next guy was, what, 7 points? That's not going to get it done,
yep.
Man. I mean, Kyle Kuzma. Hello.
Let me ask you this.
I mean, when are you going to put it together?
Okay. Yeah. Why, with you saying, yeah, Jason Kidd. So they end up getting Jason Kidd as an assistant coach. So if Vogel wasn't the first choice, why wouldn't they have given the nod to Jason Kidd? Yeah, this is the Lakers here. This is a story. And you go after a guy by the name of Frank Vogel? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. And, you know, listen, everybody knows Jeannie Buss wanted Jason Kidd. Why did they have him? I don't know. There was a lot of drama going on back there, and I can't tell you why, but. I mean, TP, I mean, I'll come to you. I mean, the Lakers, I mean, is it over? Is the Lake show? It's not even a Lake show. That's not a show. It's like, I don't even know if you call it a matinee. You know, maybe like a kid's recital. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a show. But I mean, like, you know, is it over in L.A.? Can they rebound, get two straight? Is the father time catching up to LeBron, or is it the supporting cast or lack thereof in L.A.?
First and foremost, Big Easy Eric G is cooking at the grill. That boy is cooking at the grill. Oh, my goodness, that boy was not playing. Aaron, first off, a little bit easy because he just got there and got a championship. You can't fire him after he just won a championship. So I think Vogel will be there, I want to say, for another year or two, to be fair. I don't want to just say cut him now. But there are a ton of issues on that team. Schroeder may end up getting $100 million, too. That's the crazy part because there's not too many point guards out there. Kemba's the only one that'll probably equal to be a point guard that could come in there and try to mesh with LeBron. But it's not going to be too many point guards that you're going to get that have that type of talent to play alongside them. So it's interesting enough. Just like he said, Kuzma has regressed. I think Kuzma is the first piece cooking. Gasol might be next. I want to see what they end up doing with Trez as well. I think Montrezl Harrell might be gone. There may be a total of, and I was talking about this on another network that I'm involved with, there may be up to 5 to 7 pieces from this Laker team that may not be there next season. Think about that. Half of the team will be gone next year. So, first off, LeBron, you saying your shoulders are big enough to carry this team? No, they're not. You're a human being. And second off, I am saying this here right now at the cookout. Since Eric wants to cook, I am going to cook right now. I don't want to hear nobody talk about LeBron James and Michael Jordan comparison no more. I don't want to hear
Thank you.
Do not do it. I have never Amen. Heard Michael Jordan getting Amen. Blown out in the postseason. I have never heard Michael Jordan getting blown out in the postseason by 30 points with nobody, let alone, oh, this team is not constructed the way LeBron wants it. Oh, he needs another piece, and this, that, and third. You ain't never seen Michael Jordan cry about no piece next to him. Nobody. Nobody. Like, picture if Mike had to pick of the litter to keep bringing people around him. Like, that's corny. Like, I don't want to hear that LeBron crap no more. Save it for somebody else. You're better off doing LeBron and Kobe. The only person I could argue with Michael Jordan right now is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's it. That's as far as that's going, because the resume of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, if I start reading it, everybody will go to sleep. We'll all go to sleep, and it'd be good night. Like, that's that. I'm not trying to hear this anymore. LeBron is in a situation where, let alone, it's crunch time. Postseason, you leave your team out there on the sideline because you're mad because you're getting blown out. They did not only just win by 30. They beat you with a 30-point lead on the board, and you're leaving. Come on, you want to go out there and get therapy. Now, here goes the crazy part, because this is what you learn about LeBron James. He tried to come out with that flair in the first quarter. This is what LeBron James does. He tried to play that heavy-impact basketball, put up an 8- to 10-point lead, which he did. The Lakers came out with a 10-0 run. After that, he was tired. And then the Suns were like, we withstood that. We're going to terrorize them. And they couldn't do nothing with nobody. And this is bad, how bad DeAndre Ayton is making Andre Drummond look. Andre Drummond looked like a shell of a 6'11" center out of Connecticut. This is bad. This is bad. I don't know if the Suns go into the Staples Center and get it, but I just wanted to hear about Anthony Davis' mobility, if he can really go out there and play. If not, but they're forcing this guy to probably potentially re-aggravate something that's been around him. Anthony Davis, you are in my book as injury prone. I mean, it's funny that Charles Barkley called him street clothes and tried to attach that name to him, but I mean, he did have one of the biggest growth spurts in history of man, growing, what, 8 to 10 inches in like a year. Like, so you know his body's like responding to that now, and he's young, you know, so it's tough to like put all of this on Anthony Davis, but I know this, Anthony Davis's health means more to the Lakers than LeBron's presence. And you've seen it with a 30-point spanking in Arizona.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, TP. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear the LeBron and Jordan comparisons. Anybody that wants to put LeBron as the GOAT ahead of Jordan, it's just a fan. It's just a LeBron
He's
fan.
He's not
that's
even on
all.
Kobe's level.
No, and we all know that. And here's the fact, because you know what? We all know in 98, when Jordan's last year with Chicago, Pippen was a baby and had his surgery late instead of doing it early. Jordan played a majority of that season without his second-best player. He didn't complain. He played every game, no load management, played heavy minutes, and put that team in the finals. Okay? Where's LeBron? 5 minutes left to go in the game, you're walking off the court. And I'm not going to kill you for it, because that's what you do. That's what he's done his whole career. Walk off the court when it's not going your way. When it's not going your way in the town, you walk out of town and you go to Cleveland or you go to Miami or you go to L.A. That's what you do. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I'm serious. I'll come to you, brother. Is it over in L.A.? Is it finished? Can they get back in the series? And is Father Time telling LeBron, hey, man, the hairline's not the only thing that I'm coming for. I'm coming for your career, not the hairline. Coming for
you. You know, honestly, man, here's the funny thing. Like, everybody is talking about, you know, the Lakers need to do this, the Lakers need to do that. And, again, I'm not going to sit here and paint with a broad brush and say, yeah, they, you know, the Lakers need to, fans need to relax, because if I'm a Laker fan, I'm smashing the panic button. I'm smashing it. But however, with that being said, I do know this. The last time LeBron James was down 3-2, the brother did some crazy stuff. Just ask Boston. Just ask the Golden State Warriors. You know what I'm saying? So, at the end of the day, you know, they got the game at home. I think, you know, whatever type of pick-me-up or talking to needs to happen, you know, is going to happen, and they're going to come out there and play game six. We'll see what happens. But I will echo this. Frank Vogel is being outcoached. He is being outcoached. You know, unfortunately, you have Montrezl Harrell, who, again, averaged damn near 18 a game, hardly getting any type of clock right now. You have to go to a 37-year-old Marcus Gasol, you know what I'm saying, who's getting more clock than he needs to. Dude ain't been involved in the offense, ain't been involved in the game plan, ain't been involved in many games all year long, and yet that's the guy you go to. Unacceptable. So I think, you know, Frank Vogel is being our coach. I think that the Phoenix Suns are literally just being the more aggressive team. I think they're taking it to them. They're not scared about anything. And if the Los Angeles Lakers are going to force a game seven, they're going to have to go out there and earn it. You're going to have some guys that do some crazy things. You know what I'm saying? Dennis Schroeder. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to do some things. KCP, you're going to have to do some things. You know, whomever else is in the lineup has to do some things. You know what I'm saying? It's wild that, you know, this is coming. If I'm not going to kill LeBron James for walking off the floor, hell, if I was getting spanked by 30 points and I was the only one that decided to clock into work, I'd walk off the floor too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's keep it a buck. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this offseason with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think CP said, you know, a couple players may be gone. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man. But, again, E, you a Laker fan, go ahead and continue to smash that button, player, because it's trouble time right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guys that they have with this supporting cast are not enough. If Schroeder gets $100 million more, I ain't going to stop nobody from getting their money. Get your money. If somebody gives you that money, go get it. I just know one thing. It better not be that team with orange and blue. They better not pay that boy that money. Well, I mean, somebody's going to pay him, and he's going to get the money that he's looking for, because to TP's point, there's not a lot of point guards out there. So, but listen, Caldwell Pope, not existent. Why is Montrezl Harrell, a former Sixth Man of the Year, not getting any run? That's getting out coached, to your point, serious. That's unacceptable. Guy's not even seeing the court. Will he be back in a uniform? Because clearly something's not right where it's not working. It's just not working. So, I mean, I don't get it. You know, you got some pieces there that you're not using them. But at the end of the day, okay, Drummond's probably a better fit than Gasol. Gasol, that experiment did not work. But at the end of the day, AD is your guy. He's your Robin. He's probably your Batman 2.0 with LeBron, because you've got two superstars there. Okay, what are we doing? Is AD, if you're going to build around this guy, can you build around him? Because he's never healthy. He's never there. The best ability is availability. He's never there. He's played, 36 games this year? That's not enough, man. LeBron needs more than that. You know what I mean? And, yeah, I would be upset if I'm LeBron, too, but, you know, I'm doing everything I can in my power, and these guys aren't working. But 5 minutes to go, come on, bro. Come on, bro. 5 minutes to go, it's over. I mean, I know you're down by, like, what, 30 and getting spanked in the second quarter, but, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we got to do more than that. The fans deserve better than that. But I don't know if the Lakers can build around AD because he's never there, and it's just never going to – I don't know. It just never works for me. The Lakers have a lot of question marks, you know, going into the season. If they can close out – I mean, if they can, you know, get a game at home and take it back to Phoenix, you know, I'll be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they take it to seven, but if they win this series, I will be surprised because I didn't see even Snoop Dogg said this is a soft team. They showed no heart. You know, they basically threw in the towel. No starters, like I said, in double figures. Kuzma had 15, but, you know, it's time for him to really start to make a move and being a better player. If not, then they got to move on from him. They need better out of these guys. You know what I mean? So it's a lot. Eric unpacked a lot. You know, we've been kind of cooking it up. The Lakers, I think they're in trouble. I think they're in big trouble. But we got about 20-some minutes left. I don't know if anybody wants to cook on the Nets and Celtics. If anybody wants to cook that up, I mean, Nets. Celtics, thanks for coming.
Oh, if you want stuff to cook up, we can cook things up. I have a couple of dishes that I'd love to put out there.
Go ahead.
There's something going on in the middle of Manhattan. I'd like to talk to you about it. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. Yeah,
let's talk about that.
There's some birds taking over Lower Manhattan. On the west side, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and one of the birds is wearing number 11. They're fouling him on purpose. There's 12 seconds going on, and looking like people are home already, about to just go home. I'd like to hear what's going on. This dude is, you know, rubbing him. Oh, he took a bow at half court, nailing a shot. Like, it's getting outrageous, out of hand. I mean, we'll throw it around. I won't even start with you. I'll throw this one around. Eric, your thoughts on the Hawks basically pummeling the Knicks? I don't know where they went, because this is one of the strongest defensive teams this season, and they are not showing it. Actually, they're doing the opposite. Their offense fell asleep, and their defense is, like, lacking. Like, I don't know what happened, but it was in total disarray. And I feel like this is a letdown season after all of the hype and everything that went into this season, with the Knicks having that good start. And in the middle of March, they were dancing literally in the streets during the pandemic. I mean, your thoughts on this series coming to an end as of right now? The Hawks close out 103-89.
Oh, yeah, this is a huge disappointment. Another team like the Lakers, they had all this hype. They played great basketball, and then they completely die in the playoffs. They look lost out there. The Atlanta Hawks came to play. Nate McMillan has these guys on fire right now. The Knicks can't get anything done. They can't play defense. They can't stop anybody, and it's been a nightmare. And Knicks fans should be a little depressed right now, because you got a team that had all this hype playing good, and they walk into a playoff series, and they're not playing with heart. They're not playing like they want to win. They look panicked out there. The Knicks reminded me, like, oh, hey, we got all this momentum, this and that. They expected to beat the Hawks without even playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now they're finding out, you know, you can't do that, especially against a hot, young Atlanta Hawk team. What surprises me, though, this Atlanta Hawk team, I'd like to see them go up against the Brooklyn Nets or the Sixers. I think if this team is firing on all cylinders and play like they did in this series, they'll make those two series very interesting and may even can pull off a shock. But, the Knicks and coming out today in an elimination game, you'd think they'd be playing hard and doing everything to win. Unfortunately, not. And unfortunately, it's a devastating series loss for the Knicks after all this hype, getting the game one win in the series and then losing the rest. So, yeah, terrible.
Okay, Sirius, your thoughts on this situation? I mean, I got to save the villain for last as, you know, things in, you know, I really want to say, like, Gotham or things of that nature, but I'll leave it alone. You know, I don't want to pick on him that much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Atlanta taking care of business, gentlemen sweeping 4-1 up against the Knicks.
You know, I'm going to take a page out of your book, right? There's a song that comes to mind. That goes something like this. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. I don't know
somebody take that dead cat. Somebody take that dead cat outside, please. Jesus, strangling a cat.
I don't know why this will come as a shock to people, because if you sat here and listen to Sports City Chef like you're supposed to, your boy Sirius told you this was going to take place. You know what I'm saying? And we sat here and we entertained, you know, the villain. You know what I'm saying? We allowed him to talk his junk, and we allowed him to come at me. You know what I'm saying? With some type of crazy soliloquy about how the Knicks were this and the Knicks were that. I mean, I even took it on the chin when he insulted my Rock fan, but we had him and a bunch of orange and blue fans in the building talking about Knicks pride, Knicks. No. Here's the bottom line. They don't have a star. Period. You know what I'm saying? Julius Randle is good. He's not a star. And you went up against a megastar. Unfortunately, that's what happened. So with that being said, bye-bye Knicks. Bye-bye Knicks. Life is great. You know, the world is awesome.
Okay, so Mr. Jordan, I mean, your last name is significant in NBA history, especially postseason, and I'm defending your cousin up against Mr. James and stuff, but you got bigger fish to fry, bro. And this is something Knicks tape, and go New York, and all this other stuff going on. And I'm like, okay, like I'm happy for you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't seen postseason since 2013, almost a full decade. You know, like I get it. So like I'll be happy too. You know, but for them to just go to sleep right now, I don't know who more to blame this on. Is it more Thibodeau's coaching? And the way that he was going about it, you figure out to try to put Derrick Rose out there later in the series and to start off like that. You have Alfred Payton out there early, and knowing that you put him out there for 11 minutes a game and sit him for the remainder of the game, what are you doing? Like, I need to know what's going on. Julius Randle, for you letting this defense of the Atlanta Hawks take it easy on you, for you being the most improved player in the league and not show up when the lights are on, I have questions. I need answers. In the words of Mike Singletary, I want winners. I can't win with them, just like he told the San Francisco 49ers that day when he kicked Vernon Davis off the field. Barry, I want answers. I need winners. Please.
Yeah, I hear you guys. I hear Sirius. Sirius, you were right. I was wrong. I can admit it. But I rebuke your claims of they didn't play hard and they didn't play. They gave up 103 points. That's pretty damn good defense in the league. They didn't hit shots. The shots that they were hitting in the regular season with Reggie Bullock and Alex Burks and company, they weren't hitting. Quickly hitting threes. He wasn't hitting. Listen, Sirius is right. Julius Randle is not a number one option on a team. He's not. He's a most improved player. He played out of his mind. MVP candidate. Not top three MVP candidate, but considered into the MVP conversation. Yeah, he didn't play like an MVP, but he's not a complete number one player. He's very predictable, holds the ball, dribbles left, shoots a fadeaway, or shoots a fall. He's very easy to defend. And when you bottle him up with Capella flashing to his left side, they made it very easy to defend him. They weren't going to let him go off for 37 points a night like they did in the regular season. So they had a game plan. give Nate McMillan credit. He outcoached Thibodeau. He's definitely a great coach. Came up with a game plan and his players executed it to perfection. But I want to say thank you. Thank you to the New York Knicks, because it's usually not in May, in now June, because, well, the season started a little later and all that, but we're not talking Knicks basketball in May and June. And that's because they had a season out of their mind. Yeah, it's a disappointment. Anytime you lose in the playoffs, it's disappointing. But this team should have never been in the playoffs. To get to this point is great. It is a failure to lose in the first round. But it's a learning experience for these young guys. Randall never been in the playoffs. Barrett never been in the playoffs. Quickly and Obi Toppin first year. So, you know, they have a lot of pieces they got to fill. They need scores. They need guys that can score. They need number one options. Randall's a number two option at best. Barrett could be a number three option. But Randall's not a number one option, to Sirius' point. He's absolutely right. So they need to go out there and get a number one option. I don't know who they can get. You know, like a guy like Beal would be great. But, you know, I they need shooters. They need guys that can get easy shots. They need a point guard that can create easy shots for Randall and company, Lonzo Ball or somebody like that. So they're not finished. They have draft picks. They have a future. I'm happy. Am I disappointed that we lost? Absolutely. Does it sting? Yes. But if I rebuked your claims that they didn't play hard in the series, that's not true. That's total BS. They gave up 103 points. They didn't give up more than 110 points in this series. They got beat by a better team. Atlanta has more talent than the Knicks do. That's just a fact. They have a better player, not a megastar. He's a star. I ain't putting Trae Young as a megastar, because when he gets bounced out in the next round, we'll see how that megastar does. But he ain't that on that level yet. Let's be easy on that kind of talk. But he's a damn good player. He's a star in his league. And he showed him that he was the best player on the court. So the Knicks have work to do. They overachieved this year. They're ahead of schedule. Now they're a place that people might want to come to and play. They got to start now. They really have to start attracting the talent. They got to draft the right players, and they need a star, a bookend player to go with Randall and Barrett and company.
I don't know if this is going to attract people, because this is Thibodeau up to his same tactics at the wrong time of the season right now.
I don't believe that.
We will see.
I don't believe that.
We will, huh?
I don't believe that, TP. I really don't believe that. Like, what is his tactics? Like, overplaying players? Is that what you mean?
Right. Right. Figuring it out late in the series. Like, they are potentially a sweep. This is a gentleman's sweep, but you notice. And they came into the Garden when you got, and Thibodeau preaches defense. That defense was irrelevant all series right here. All series. How does this get better when your best player's aging?
TT, it looks that way. The optics is that they couldn't stop anybody because they couldn't score. They couldn't keep up. They gave up 103 points tonight. 103. What did the Wizards give up the other night? 142 points. Like, what are we talking
about?
Wait,
are we comparing the Wizards to the Knicks? Wait, hold on.
No, but you,
wait,
but,
wait,
but
where are we going?
You're saying that their defense was horrible. It wasn't horrible. They made shots. NBA players make shots. They gave up 103 points.
Wait,
we're not
Barry, do you know Bogdan Bogdanovic was killing y'all, and y'all were not closing out on him? He was getting every shot he wanted.
Okay.
Just tell me about Bogey. Just tell me what Bogey's been doing to you all series.
He hit shots. The Knicks didn't. It looks worse when you're shooting up threes and it's one and done. The Hawks did a couple things right on defense. And they played better defense than the Knicks did in this series, but the Knicks didn't play bad defense. It was bad offense. They trapped Randall on his left side, got him to make poor decisions. They said, you know what, we'll let you shoot open threes. If you hit it, fine. If not, we're packing the paint. You're not getting a second chance shot. I could tell you, I could probably count on one hand how many offensive rebounds they got in this series. Not just in a game, in the series. They didn't allow it. So they had a great game plan, and it was to perfection. They didn't allow second-chance points, and they let them shoot open threes. They let guys who you can't trust shoot open threes. They missed it, and that was it.
Oh, okay. I'll just say we agree to disagree. Hopefully it gets better. Just like you said, hopefully this attracts people to come to New York. I feel like more work to be done. Their best player is aging. He will be 34, I think, next, being Derrick Rose, because Julius Randle,
no,
you may
32.
Have been an all-star.
No, he'll be 33.
Who, Derrick Rose?
Right? He'll be 33.
I think
33, right?
I think he's 33 this season. He'll be 34 next season,
okay.
Right?
But he's a free agent. He's a free agent. So
y'all better find him.
To,
if y'all let him
to...
go, good night, Irene. You better not come outside if they let him go. If they let Derrick Rose go,
I think he would still be a backup. He would still be a backup. I don't think they would want him back as a starter. Not that I know.
So who's starting? IQ?
No. They need to go get a point guard. They, like I said, Alonzo Ball, they should. Here's the biggest problem that the Knicks had this season. They did a lot of good things right. Their passiveness at the trade deadline bit them in the butt in the playoffs because they didn't have that guy. They had a chance to get Alonzo Ball and maybe I think another guy that they were talking to, and they just didn't bring enough talent, and they rolled with what they had, and they got them to the playoffs. But they need a point guard like Alonzo Ball, like or whoever else is available. Schroeder, please don't pay him all that money. But he's an upgrade over Elfrid Payton. I know that. That's what they need. Rose, I don't know if he's got enough starter minutes left in that body. I think 20 to 25 minutes a night is the most you can do. But they definitely need a starting point guard to make this offense easier for everybody else.
Okay. I mean, that's all I really have as we come to, you know, closer to the end. I mean, if you have something that you want to put out there, we can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Wizards, they fall. Philadelphia takes care of business at home. And then you got the Jazz and the Grizzlies going right now. And the Clippers and the Clippers and the Mavericks. So, you know, from my perspective, you know, Dallas is up. It's very early in that game. You know, but like I said, the Sixers take care of business, put Washington down and put them out back and put them down. So, you know, congratulations to the Sixers, and Wizards, they got decisions to make just like everybody else now.
I mean, and this is bad because this is a situation that the Wizards should have tried to capitalize while Embiid was off the floor. Russell Westbrook, I just really don't know what to say about him in, like, critical times in this game where he's turning the ball over, doing some crazy stuff. It's like, when do you want to be coachable, or when do you want to be outside of yourself, man? It's just crazy that it's going to continue to be this way until he really gets a coach that don't give a damn about how much money he's putting up or he's getting or what his name is about. Like, there's going to have to be a coach that can walk up to him. He walked right back into the lap of Scott Brooks and it's unfortunate that Scott Brooks' contract is up. I don't know if they extend him. I think he might be on the outside looking in going into the next season.
I don't know how you bring him back, to be honest with you. I just, you know, he talked a big game and gave Russell Westbrook his flowers, which he deserves. But, like, if he's that great, why can't you win with him? Why can't you figure it out? So, I look at Brooks and, like, you know what? You're not part of the solution. You're part of the problem. You got to go. I think that kid, what's his name? From Gonzaga, Hoshimura. I can't remember. I always butcher his name.
Hoshimura.
I like him. I think they keep developing him, but I still think they need a big and a stretch three to go in there in Washington to kind of space the court a little bit. You know, listen, props to Washington, as bad as they started, to get into the playoffs. They just don't have enough to go against that Sixer team. If Embiid needs to be healthy, I think it's a meniscus. Serious? Did you say it was a meniscus? tear that that they're trying to work on?
I didn't catch it, but give me a minute. I'll pull it up here in a minute.
Okay, yeah, I think it was a meniscus tear that they were talking about with Joel Embiid. So it's going to be interesting, you know, getting out of this series early, giving him like probably a week off before game one against the Hawks in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Hey, Barry, yeah, it is a small lateral meniscus tear.
Okay. I thought it was his back. It's not good, but, you know, hopefully they can manage it. You know, that's a big blow. If he's not 100% healthy, the Hawks will give him a lot of problems, and good luck trying to get past a hungry Milwaukee and Brooklyn team. So, I mean, from my seat, you know, they need him at 100%. So, but, you know, props to Philadelphia moving on. Washington has a lot to do. I think the first thing is to get a new coach. Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know what you guys think about Philly moving on with this injury to his knee.
You know, honestly, man, I have 2 points. First and foremost, you know, I do not believe that Scott Brooks will lose his job. And that's definitely different from the way I felt early on in the year. But there's something about getting this Washington team, no matter what organization, whether it's basketball, football, hockey, to the postseason. Like, the city goes nuts. From where they were to where they eventually got to, you know, speaks volumes. I mean, you ran into the number one team, you know, and that's what he can hang his hat on. Like, listen, y'all know where I was. You went on a run. You know, got some pieces back, dealt with COVID. You know, Bradley Beal was, you know, doing work until he got hurt, and then he, you know, carried us. You know, Russ Westbrook, you know, averaging triple-double, blah, blah, blah. Scott Brooks can sell it. And so it wouldn't shock me one bit if, you know, come the next, you know, training camp basketball season that he's back on the sideline. With that being said, without Joel Embiid, this Sixers team is in trouble. I really believe that, because what the Atlanta Hawks can throw at them are big. They can throw bigs at them. Ben Simmons is not going to want to have anything to do with Trae Young. Like, he was not part of that. No part of that. And if push comes to shove, heck, just follow him. He'll miss free throws. You know what I'm saying? I think the way that Nate McMillan played the Knicks last series could be the blueprint for how they play the 76ers this upcoming series. The only difference is the 76ers got a little more guns. You know what I'm saying? You know, Seth can shoot the jumper. You know what I'm saying? Danny Green can hit a jumper. You know what I'm saying? You still got the veteran George Hill, you know, who can, you know, pull up and do some things. So, you know, Doc has some options. But at the end of the day, man, without your big horse in the middle, without your MVP candidate, you're looking to other options. And, you know, if Tobias Harris going to step up and, you know, fill the void? Is Ben Simmons going to step up and fill that void? Or are the role players going to rally around? Because regardless of whether Embiid plays or not, that meniscus tear isn't a quick fix. You can rest it, recoup it, you know, rehab it, massage it, blow it kisses, whatever you need to do, but it's not going to be 100 until he gets that thing operated on. So with that being said, you know, Sixers fans want Embiid to be 100%. That's a fallacy as long as the 76ers are alive in the playoff. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you know, one bad turn, one bad tweak, you know, and it goes from bad to worse. So, I think the Sixers are in trouble.
Yeah, Eric, I don't know how you feel about Embiid with the Sixers' chances with Embiid laboring a little bit with the meniscus tear in the second round of the Hawks, and if they actually do move on against the Hawks, and the Nets or the Bucks will be waiting for them. What do you think? What are their chances, if at all?
Well, it's just like Anthony Davis and the Lakers. He's a big part of their team. And if he's not able to go, yeah, they're going to be in big problems. This Atlanta Hawk team would be able to beat them. So they need to rest him. They need to see what's going on and give him a rest. They don't want to rush him out there and get injured and then him being out for the whole series. So it'd be even wise for them to leave him out for the first game if he's ailing that much, because having him out there is just going to, we're going to see what happened to Anthony Davis. Your body needs rest and recovery. And the Sixers will be fine if he's available.
Yeah, I mean, TP, what do you think? The Sixers, I mean, yeah, Embiid's a big piece. They're the best player. He's an MVP candidate. You don't want to lose him. I don't know how effective, because TP, you've had a meniscus tear, and you were able to come back, you know, during the end of the season with the meniscus tear in your knee. Talk to me about that injury, and do you think Embiid could be effective in the playoffs, trying to play through it without getting it, you know, basically tended to?
So I remember in high school when it happened, I was on the crutches for like 2.5 weeks straight. And going through the rehab and therapy, like I buzzed my tail because I wanted to get back and at least play the last little bit of the season. And I did end up coming playing the last two games of the season. But then when I got older, I think I was 22, 23, I got into a car accident with my cousin and tore my meniscus in my left knee and really had to find out the time duration of everything. And the crazy part about that is it's a literal 8 day of you being off of it. So he's at least off of it for a week and a half, and he's an NBA mm-hmm. player. So I know, you know, at that time when the car accident was like 2003, 2004, so you know medicine and technology's probably gotten better. But they're not going to force him to go out there. This guy's a multi-million-dollar asset. So they have to watch it. This could get worse. So they're going to at least have to give him two and a half weeks, like, to be honest, because they're going to try to repair it. He's not going to go out there running around and talking about day-to-day. Like, this guy's issue his whole career is he's injury-prone his first two seasons. He didn't play a lick of basketball because of his wheel. Like, so they have to watch Embiid as much as possible. So this is very interesting, to say the least. And just to see how Philly's going to try to hold it down without him, I think they're in a trouble situation going up against Atlanta. I think Atlanta could make it interesting if Embiid don't hurry up and get back, but you want to wait till the hands of medicine or health get back in there before you just go out there and throw him out there and think he's just going to bully Capella, even though he can, but he needs every last bit of his wheels. So this is interesting to see.
So do you think that they would hold him out for the first two games and hope to get him back game three? You think that's probably how they want to play it instead of trying to get him in game one and then see how it goes? Like, you think like a game three probably, you know, split the first two games and then go from there?
Game three or game four, they got to do this the right way. Like that's
right.
A multi-million-dollar investment. He's going to end up being a $200 million player when he's all said and done, maybe more. Like, you rush him out there and it tears more, something else happens. He's 7'2", 7'3", and heavy as he is too. Yeah, they got to watch it. He's on that knee. It's a lot of weight on him, and he jumps and jump shooter, everything. Like, it's more to it than just getting him back out there to play ball. Like this is the same way that the Lakers look right now with Anthony Davis. Are you going to invest your future right here to get him out there to save this playoff, or, you know, be smart about it and sit him out and hope LeBron can carry you there with the shoulder that he's talking about? So, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't hinder him. You know, you want to see these teams at their best. You don't want, you know, injury like that to kind of slow the Sixer team down, especially the year that they're having. You know, everybody thought, you know, they got the pieces in place with getting Steph Curry and company, bringing in Doc Rivers, had them, you know, the number one seed. You hope that, you know, injury doesn't really derail them for another season, because you don't get a lot of crack at it. You know, just because, like, clearly LeBron went to, what, 8 finals in a row, that doesn't happen very often. You know what I mean? Sometimes that window gets really tight. So, you know, it's a long playoff. So hopefully, you know, he's healthy and he's able to play in the second round against the Hawks at some point. yeah, Memphis is getting cooked by Utah. They're down by 21 right now in the second quarter. Utah looks like they're about to take care of business at home against the Grizzlies. I don't know if anybody wants to chime in on that, but, I mean, not much to talk about there. Grizzlies making a valiant effort. But, you know, they just don't have enough talent, you know, that in the waves that Utah can throw at them. So it looks like, you know, barring a big comeback, Utah should take care of business at home. And then we got the Mavericks up by 5 right now against the Clippers. Somebody call and they put out an APB. We need anybody that can stop Luka Doncic because there ain't nobody on the Clippers that can handle that boy. He is cooking everybody. He hasn't missed a three-pointer. He's shooting fadeaways on the baseline. There ain't nobody that can stop Luka Doncic down there in the post. I'll throw this around real quickly, and then we can close off the grill. Eric, I'll come to you, brother. I'll come to you first. The Mavericks and Clippers game tonight, who do you got? Who do you like, even though, you know, it's in the first quarter and we have a score? You know, give me your handicap. Do you think the Clippers can take care of business at home? Nobody's won a home game so far in this playoff. Can the Clippers be the first one to break through?
Yeah, the Clippers can definitely take care of business at home. But I look for Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks to rebound. Luka needs to get help from Porzingis and the rest of his cast, which I look for Porzingis to have a big game tonight and the Dallas Mavericks win.
Okay. Sirius, talk to me. Mavericks and Clippers, who gets the win tonight? Is it the is going against the grain in the home team, or is the road dog going to win out tonight?
You know, honestly, man, we haven't seen a home team win on home floor this whole series, so I'm not too sure why tonight's going to be any different. With that being said, the Dallas Mavericks jumped out on the Clippers early in game 3. And then the Clippers, you know, kind of adjusting to find a way to get back. So if the Dallas Mavericks get any balance scoring and Luka isn't doing it by himself, it's going to be a problem. But we'll see what happens, man. I'm picking the Mavs, again, to go against the grain because the visiting team has won every game in the series.
Luka just hit another 3. Nobody out. He's got 14 points in the first quarter. He's got half of his team's points. You know, Paul George is trying to D him up. He's just running off a pace, running off a screen. They can't do nothing with that boy. GP, I'll let you finish it off. Dallas Clippers tonight in L.A., who do you got?
If the Clippers don't win this game, the series is over. Dallas can't let this go back to Dallas and lose it again. It's over. So I'm going Clippers to save face. All of the money they just put in Paul George, $200-something million. He told Marty to go L.A. a championship. I know he probably won't get a championship, but you got to get out of the first round. They put too much money into you. But Dallas is knocking down shots and making it look like they are not fazed by being in the state of California. And Luka's getting everything that he wants. And he hit another 3 in Paul George's face. This is horrible. This is horrible. In the first quarter, they got 31 points right now. The Clippers, this is unexplainable. If you're and Kawhi to set up to go here, and you guys can't handle a youngster that is really making himself not only look like a superstar but a megastar, it's sad. It's sad. The Clippers, listen, I don't really want to say this word. I really don't like using it, but it looks like they are cursed. It don't matter who they put here. This is terrible that he's getting what he wants on all of you, especially while you guys are supposed to be elite defenders and trying to be ready for LeBron James if the Lakers could get out of that round. It's bad that they were constructed to be tough for the Lakers team, but they can't play anybody else consistent. The Clippers better win this game. If not, it's over in Dallas game 6.
Listen, they can't guard him, and nobody can guard him. Maybe Kawhi can, but he won't pick up those duties until later in the game. He's the claw. You better get on him. But, like, Paul George can't handle him right now. But, you know, the problem is eventually he has to come out of the game. And when he comes out the game, they're, like, minus 26, I think, with Luka not on the court. And that's to Eric's point. KP's got to come up. When he's not on the court, you got to take over. You got to assert yourself pretend like you were a number top five pick, and that you were the guy in New York. Pretend you were that guy at least 2-3 minutes. Can you do that? No, I don't think you can. So, I mean, listen, I like the Clippers in this game too, even though, you know, Luke is cooking. Eventually he needs a break, and when he gets a break, the Clippers go on a run, and they did it in game three and game four. They were down big early, and then when Luka went out, they went on a run and took control of the game, and they couldn't get it back. So if that doesn't happen, I agree with you, TP. It ain't looking good. So it ain't looking good for both LA teams at this point right now. You know, Clippers might have a little better shot, but we'll see after tonight. But
down the thing, Senator. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Absolutely. Set the Staples Center down. It's over. Set it down. But, listen, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate the love, Sirius. I know you love my Knicks, giving me a hard time. We go back and forth. But, I don't want to hear from you tomorrow. Don't text me tomorrow. I don't want to hear from you. Give me a close out, man. Give me a close out. If you message my phone, I ain't gonna be happy. Don't message my damn phone tomorrow. Let me be in my fortress of solitude. Let me sit here in my lair with my doom mask, you know, sulking in misery, and then I'll come out the next day. But let me sit in my cave and be angry for a day, and then I'll be good. But give me a close, Sirius.
You know,
I love you, brother.
There's a saying, you know what I'm saying? There's a 24-hour grace period. But see, when we do what we do, you get 20 minutes. So with that being said, I'm going to hit the man up tomorrow morning and kind of do a welfare check, you know what I'm saying? Make sure that my man, you know, rises with the sunshine and kisses his babies and give him his cornflakes and stuff while they go off to their daily activities. With that being said, it's such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Carlos Cookout right here on Sports City Chefs. Before I go, man, you know, hug all your Knicks fans. Make sure they're doing okay. You know, it's a difficult time for them, but it's also a difficult time for us because we as non-Knicks fans have to shoulder the load and lift their heads. There's a lot of sagging heads right now. That wear that stupid ass orange and blue. We need to do the wonderful thing and lift their heads. So, you know, those of you guys that are listening who are friends with Knicks fans, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. With that being said, man, I'm out now. Y'all be good.
That cat again. That cat keeps coming in here. There's a cat getting strangled every time Sirius starts talking. he can't sing. He can't sing. It sounds like he's strangling a cat.
Unbelievable cat.
Nah, thanks, Sirius. We appreciate you, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Big E, EZE, give me a close out, brother. Thank you so much for being here. We love you. Talk to us. You're on mute.
Yes, it's always a pleasure, my brothers. Likewise, I'm going to relax. These allergies are killing me out here in Colorado now, so I'm all messed up, but great night. Everybody watch the rest of the playoffs. Check us out, sportscitychefs.com, the blogs, the merch, everything we got going.
Thank you, E. Thank you, bro. Feel better, man. Holler at me, man. I need that information. But listen.
Yep. It's on its way to you, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, thank you guys so much for calling in and listening to the show. You know, sportscitychefs.com, the latest blog is up. We're blogging all there all the time. I got my top five at each position, the small forwards. LeBron is my number one. You know, I think I had – who did I put in number two? Oh, that guy, Larry Bird. And then the rest you're going to have to go on sportscitychefs.com and get my reasons why I put those guys there. So get out there, read the blog. I've got a baseball blog out there as well from the Buff Baseball Buffet guys. They're on tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, talking some baseball, a lot of good things going on there. get to the website. Like I said, listen to the podcast. We've got shows all week, NFL free-for-all with James and Rodri. We've got TP's, the flagship show, the Sunday brunch. You know, listen, we're cooking, man. We got a lot of good things going on here. Get the merchandise. We'll have a new line suit, TP. You will get your shirt, I promise you. And, you know, we got a lot of good things cooking. TP, you know what to do, brother. Nobody does it better, like they say. Go ahead, close this out, bro.
See, that's when the villain gives it up to the good, and this is where good always wins. You hear that? You hear it. You hear the sincerity in his voice. You know what I'm saying? This is what happens. Sincerely, though, Eric, go out there and get a lemon tea. Lemon tea and honey to get your voice back. Wear your mask outside because that helps. I don't know if you're wearing glasses or goggles, but that helps that pollen stay out of you. I think the only thing that you could try to trap is your ears because it's the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and the ears that pollen attacks you. So try your best to cover that up as best as possible. I use Zyrtec to fight allergies. I've been doing well. So I hope you get back in order. You already know the slogan, Sports City. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Yeah. Cabbie. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.